Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the Scriptures on the screen. Again, that is the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, all throughout Scripture, we read about God and his generous love towards us. That while we were the ones who sinned, who rebelled against him, who wanted nothing to do with him and his ways, and who brought destruction to all that he created, God would still choose to love us and die for us in order to have a relationship with us. Knowing what we did against him, God would still choose to die and grant forgiveness for the very people who would ignore and reject him. Scripture says, for God, meaning the Father, so loved the world, which is us, that he, meaning the Father, gave his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him, which is Jesus, shall not perish, meaning end up in hell, but have eternal life, meaning end up in heaven. God gave up his life to save our life from sin and eternal death. And in doing so, gave us new life in him and a new family to be a part of by adopting us as children of God. Those who would receive the Son would be forgiven for their sins, be known as heirs of God, having access to all of his righteousness, all of his spiritual riches, and would spend an eternity with God in heaven when they passed from this earth. And in saving us, God would sanctify us, transforming our lives so that it will look more like his life while we're here on earth. And it is this process of discipleship where we learn to surrender all areas of our life to God as he redeems our brokenness, gives us beauty for our ashes while we gain a hope and a future. And if that wasn't enough, he who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God's nature is love, and in loving, he gives. And because we believe in him, follow him, and are part of his family, then as God's family members, learn to love and give like he does. And through Jesus, God would set a model for all his followers of what sacrificial giving will look like. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So for those of us who consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus, who are part of God's family, who have experienced salvation and have access to God and all of his spiritual riches because of what God has done for us, then why? Why can it be so hard for many of us to give and be generous like God is? And there are many roadblocks to us being generous with what we have, like unbelief, insecurity, pride, discontentment, poor stewardship of what we have, idolatry, or the desire for control. But one of the biggest barriers to giving for the believer is the belief that this present earth is our forever home. You know, I was sitting at a park, and on the bench at the park next to me were two older gentlemen talking about their retirement accounts. One was boasting to the other that he had all these investments and that all he does every month is just collect thousands of dollars in dividends. I mean, it was impressive with the numbers he was sharing with his friend. But sitting there, I started wondering. He has invested much for this life, but I wonder if he ever thought to invest for the life after. Many of us wisely plan for the next 30 to 50 years for our financial future. However, our earthly endeavors become a poor investment if we neglect to invest in our eternal future, which spans on for billions and trillions of years and beyond after we die. Because if we are so focused on investing in this life and don't think at all about eternity, we in reality are living for the dot and not for the line. If our lives are eternal, meaning that we live forever, even beyond this earth, then our life here on earth, which is temporary, is a dot on that line representing our eternity. But what happens is that many people think that the dot is all there is to their life. And even many believers can think this way as well. And so they live and invest everything for that dot. YOLO, right? I mean, you only live once, so live for yourself and then you die and there's nothing else after. But if there is an eternity, meaning more beyond the dot of our life on earth, then that puts our life in perspective of that eternity and all that we have as well. We learned previously in this series that we are all stewards, meaning managers and not owners of everything that we have that God has provided for us. God is the owner of all that we have, and so his blessings are meant to be used to live within our means and to be used to further his purposes now on earth and for all of eternity. But as long as we are living for this life only, meaning living for the dot, we will miss out on what God is trying to do in, through, and around us now and for eternity. However, when we look at our lives with an eternal perspective, not only will we start to live with eternity in mind now, but we will be able to make wiser choices with what God has given us that will pay off now and forever. You know, we're in our sermon series called True Riches. What Jesus really said about money and our heart, inspired by the book True Riches by John Courtenez and Greg Baumer. See, Jesus spoke a lot about money, not because he cared about money, but because he cares about us. Because he knew our tendency and temptation to replace God with money. And knowing that we are not meant to live for the dot, but for the line, Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." See, Jesus explains that there are two ways to manage our possessions and highlights the difference between the wrong and the right way to handle earthly treasures. He advises against storing treasures on earth, meaning investing in the temporal, which eventually decays, loses value, and can be unreliable. Instead, Jesus recommends storing treasures in heaven, which are eternal, incorruptible, secure. And I want to make it clear that Jesus is not saying that investing while we're here on earth, or having earthly possessions is bad. Nowhere does scripture forbid having property, money, portfolios, emergency funds, life insurance, savings, and retirement. In fact, scripture says that it is wise to use the resources entrusted to us in order to provide for ourselves and our family while we're here on earth. And nowhere in scripture does it ever say that we cannot enjoy the resources and stuff that God has entrusted to us while on earth. But what Jesus is saying to the crowd listening is that he forbids the selfish accumulation of money and stuff just for our selfish consumption and self-centered purposes. He is referring to neglecting the needs of the oppressed and underprivileged by choosing to live extravagantly and way beyond our means with what we have. That is the storing of treasures on earth that Jesus is referring to, where we're all about materialism, hoarding, never being satisfied with what we have, and always wanting more. Storing treasures on earth is where we invest in things that don't carry over into eternity. Jesus instead is encouraging us to use the possessions that we have on earth for the purposes of an eternity in heaven. And that is storing up treasures in heaven. We store up treasures in heaven when we live for God and are obedient to him. When we use what we have to follow Jesus so that our character and life can be transformed and our emotional and spiritual health can grow as our life looks more like Jesus's life. It is when we leverage what we have that advances the gospel to care for the needy, to love our neighbors, and to further the purposes of God so that lives, families, relationships, parenting, marriages, communities, and the world can change. It is when we have eternity in mind that we start to live differently and even use the resources that we have differently. Soon enough, the day-to-day temporal activities in our schedules start to have meaningful eternal consequences. And if the word of God and people are what lasts for eternity, then Jesus is encouraging us to invest in knowing and being obedient to God's word so that it transforms us into the likeness of Jesus. And it is using all that we have and all that we are to also invest in people as we point them towards the ways of God. That is storing up treasures in heaven. And because everyone is an eternal being that lasts forever, they can either be in an eternity with God, also known as heaven, when they die, or spend an eternity apart from God, also known as hell, when they die. So if this is not our forever home, then it is using our time, our resources, our talents while we're here on earth to help people find a permanent home with the God who loves them. This is the treasure in heaven that Jesus is talking about. And no one can ever take it away or steal it because it is secure and the dividends that come from it are everlasting. I mean, think about it. When our character changes to be more like Jesus, that lasts forever. And it changes those around us for the better and even affects those people for eternity. And when we contribute to changing lives on earth with what we have, that ripples forever as well because people last forever. Jesus continues, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus is saying that our heart always follows where we put our money. I mean, just look at our bank statements, and we can easily tell where our heart really is. See, where we put our money doesn't just tell us where our hearts are, but it also determines where our hearts go. If I buy stocks in a certain company, my heart follows everything that that company does. If that company is successful, my heart feels successful. And if that company is in trouble, my heart will feel worried and troubled. But suppose we give towards helping to plant a church in a particular city. You will start to care about what that church does. You will pray for that church and pray for the people in the city that that church serves in. Your heart goes out to that church and the people. If something good happens to that church, you will rejoice. And if something tragic happens, you will want to know how you can help. Because our hearts always follows where we put our money. So if we want our hearts somewhere, then put your money there. And if we want our heart to be where God is, then put the money that we have towards the mission and the purposes of God, and our heart will start to care about what God cares about. If we want to care more about eternal things, then it is putting our money and resources towards what is eternal and what lasts forever, which are the things of God and people. And yes, we do need to feed, clothe, house, and transport our families, but when our basics are taken care of, why not put the rest towards treasures in heaven? If God wants our hearts, then God desires that we are not only people of faith, but that we also use our faith to become disciples who are mindful of eternity. That is why every time we give instead of keep, we end up investing in the eternal instead of the temporal. When we cling to earthly treasures, they will eventually be lost. However, when we use them for God's purposes, we end up storing up treasures in heaven. So how do we develop a heart of giving like God? A marriage counselor working with a struggling couple wouldn't advise them to wait until they feel more love for each other before they start serving one another. Instead, the counselor would encourage them to choose to love each other daily and act accordingly, believing that the feelings will eventually follow. While giving works in the same way. If we follow Jesus and desire to develop his heart within us, we must choose to give to the things that he cares about. And in doing so, he aligns our passions with his, and his priorities become our priorities. Giving is a reminder that everything that we have belongs to God and not to us. It helps us fight the urge to only keep for ourselves in greed, as it breaks the chains of greed and materialism that try to enslave us. And since God knew that all of us have the tendency to only think about ourselves, especially when it comes to money and possessions, God instituted something called a tithe that was meant to safeguard the nation of Israel from greed, while helping to give them the training wheels to be generous to those around them. By practicing tithing, it helped God's people to move away from a self-centered life and transform them into his likeness. And this principle of tithing continues to be practiced by believers all throughout the centuries and even today. In the Old Testament, a tithe was where God told his people, the Israelites, to give 10% of their first fruits from their harvest back to him before using any of the harvest for personal consumption. This practice by the Jews was an act of worship, as it was a way to acknowledge God's ownership and kingship of the land and their crops. Everyone earning an income gave 10% back to God. In fact, scripture says the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, olive oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. Everyone in the nation worshiped God by giving. And the word, a tithe of everything, meant that even those who were potters, jewelers, clothes sellers, all gave, just as the farmers and the herdsmen did, demonstrating that everyone that had some sort of harvest, regardless of their occupation, was equally devoted to God in their generosity. And this practice of giving their first fruits back to God was a way that God's people practiced putting God first and not last in the area of their blessings and possessions. The priests of the community would then receive the tithes given and use it to create spiritual environments where people could connect and grow in their relationship with God. The goods and money given as the tithe were also used to meet needs and help those in the local community. This act of giving back to God trained God's people to be generous with what they had been blessed with and gave them the training wheels to be more loving like their God. Today, this practice of tithing is extended to Jesus' followers as an act of worship, where we get to give our first 10% of our income back to God as a declaration that He is the provider and that He comes first. So if you make a dollar, it's giving God 10 cents to be used for His purposes. If you make $1,000, it is giving God $100 back. If you make $10,000, it is giving Him $1,000 back. If you make $100,000, it's giving Him $10,000. And if you make $1,000,000, it is giving Him $100,000 to be used for His purposes. And typically, people will give their tithes to whatever local church they consider as their home that spiritually feeds and walks with them through life. And today, tithes given are used in the same way by the local church to create spiritual environments for people to connect to God, connect to His people, and connect to His purposes as they grow to be a disciple of Jesus. It is used to help bless those in need in the local community and used to pay for the needs of the clergy who serve the people in the local congregation. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. And if God owns everything, then tithing isn't about giving because God needs our money. Rather, the goal is to teach followers of Jesus to prioritize God first in an area like our finances where it's very hard to put Him first. And it's not about giving God His portion and in doing whatever we want with the rest, because everything that we have belongs to Him. And by giving, we are really saying that we trust in Him as we manage His money for our needs and for eternal purposes. See, giving back to God comes down to a trust issue. By giving, can we trust in God to provide for all of our needs, or is money what we were actually trusting in? And by giving away 10%, God's people were also making a statement about the remaining 90%, that it all belongs to God, because now they had to live in faith to live off the rest. Every time God's people tithe, it is a reminder that everything comes from Him. And the release of what is given is an expression of worship, gratitude, and dependence upon God. And to not do it really demonstrates dependence on ourselves and ingratitude to Him. Tithing also creates guardrails for people to live with margin. Because if you have only so much left after you give to God first, then you find ways to live off what is left. But what often happens is that people can live beyond our means and use what was meant for God to help others and use it only on themselves instead to enrich their lifestyles. So in order to be more like God and learn to be givers, tithing would be the training wheels for greater generosity. Scripture says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. See, people get so focused on the giving and what they don't have as a result of the giving. But it is what the giving does in us that actually really matters. Because when I look at all that God has done for me, that He loves me, that He saved me, when I understand that I'm in His family and that He will take care of all of my needs, I can start to have open hands. I can start to be generous with what God has entrusted with me. This act of releasing enlarges the love in my heart for other people. It enlarges my character and it shapes it to be more Christ-like. It enlarges my perspective to see people and the world the way that God sees people and the world. It enlarges my impact because I'm using what I have to help others. And it enlarges my influence because it enables me to speak into the lives of those around me. God is generous with everything He has. And as His followers, He wants us to be generous with everything we have. So it's not just with money, but with our time, our hospitality, our resources, our praise, our talents, our abilities, our life. God wants generosity to be something that we value and a lifestyle that we practice. That is why tithing is the training wheels that helps us to be generous people, because we are in the practice of going from clenched fists to now open hands. And people think tithing is the finish line to aim for, but the reality is that it is actually the starting point that we build from as God transforms us to be even more generous people. Why do I say training wheels? Because the 10% was the starting point to give us the practice of being generous and letting go. But eventually, the training wheels come off. And so this guideline of a 10% starting point that you started with can actually help us to be even more generous beyond it. That is why the tenth is a minimum that we build upon, hoping to be even more generous with what God has given us year after year. People think the tenth is the ceiling and that is all that I have to give, but it is really the foundation. Because when we become generous like our God, there is no ceiling to what we can give away for Him. Because the real test of our generosity is, does it cost us when we give? Are we giving in a way where we have to sacrifice, and in a way that stretches us, where we have to trust God and even forgo things at times? When we have clenched fists with what we have, God cannot put anything else in our hands. But every time we freely give and have open hands, God will supply us. Scripture says, remember this, Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Pastor Randy Alcorn says, God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. So it is giving in a way that is sacrificial and where it costs us. But the key is doing so not under reluctance, compulsion, or guilt, but because we acknowledge who God is, and giving is our natural response of worship and gratitude back to Him. God encourages us to step out in faith in order to be generous and to trust Him to fill the gaps of what we have given. But many of us hold on to money and stuff in case God fails to catch us. And that is why tithing is a step of faith, that if I give towards His purposes, I can trust that He will care for me as He grows me into being a giver. Tithing really comes down to a heart issue. It reveals to us who really has first place in our life. Is it God or is it money? Because if it is God, then our release of money is easy, because we trust that God will take care of us even when we release. But if it is money, then we will continually have a grip on it as we worry and become suspicious when anyone tries to talk to us about it, especially when it comes to surrendering that area over to God. Pastor Rick Warren said that following God's plan of tithing becomes a practice of gratitude. God, thank you for providing for me. It becomes a practice of priority. God, you have first place in this area of my life, and it is a practice of faith. God, I'm going to trust you to continue to provide for me, even though I'm giving a portion back to you in faith. See, tithing is an invitation by God to trust Him. That if I take a step of faith to consistently give to Him in worship, that He will care for me accordingly. And this act of consistently giving back to God shapes us to become more generous like Him. And if followers of Jesus consistently tithe, so much good could be done in co-laboring with God to change lives through the local church. According to Relevant Magazine, if Christians in the United States were to tithe 10% of their income, there would be an additional $165 billion for churches to use and distribute. Here are just a few things that the church could do with that amount of money. $25 billion could relieve global hunger, starvation, and deaths from preventable diseases in 5 years. $12 billion could eliminate illiteracy in 5 years. $15 billion could solve the world's water and sanitation issues, specifically at places in the world where 1 billion people live on less than a dollar per day. $1 billion could fully fund all overseas missions work, so people can hear the gospel and respond to Jesus. $100 to $110 billion would still be left over for additional ministry expansion. And that's just the U.S. Imagine if all people who considered themselves followers of Jesus tithe. However, the reality is that according to nonprofit sources, only 3 to 5% of American Christians tithe. And the average giving among all American Christians to support the local churches, local communities, and global missions is sadly only 2.5%. Now, I want to be clear that we don't want to be legalistic when it comes to money and giving. Each person needs to decide with God where God is in regards to their finances. Because if people are to give, they should do so because they want to honor God and be cheerful when giving. And never to give out of compulsion, obligation, or guilt. But at the end of the day, the goal of why we give is because of all God has given to us. So knowing that, our natural response is one of worship and generosity as we invite people to be a part of God's plan for resourcing the local church who God has entrusted to care for people and equip them as they change their communities and the world together. So if you are not in the habit of tithing, then I invite you to take a step of faith and trust God as He uses those training wheels to help you to be more generous. And if you are tithing, then I invite you to give and be even more generous with what you have as we reach our community and change people's lives with the resources that God has given to us. So if you are someone here who wants to take that step and begin tithing, you may be wondering, well, where do I tithe to? And the answer to that question is to whatever church you consider to be your home. And if you are someone who considers Community Church to be your home, then let me tell you what happens with all of our tithes. See, tithing isn't just about giving money. It's about using what we give to God in order to create stories of joy, life change, and making a difference now and for eternity with what we've been given. We all tithe, myself, my wife, our leaders, our dream team members, and we hope that everyone who considers this church to be their church home would tithe as well. If tithing is the training wheels towards greater generosity, then we want to learn to be the most generous people and the most generous church. And that starts with us trusting God with what we have. Did you know that when we started this church, everyone on the launch team made a commitment to tithe and to give generously towards what God was going to do in Malden? We knew that people needed to be reached for Jesus, that people were looking for hope and answers. And if we, along with God, could create spiritual community in this city, people's lives and eternities would change. And so as a launch team, we generously gave towards this vision and dream for the city of Malden. And that continues to this day. Our tithes are used to create environments so people can follow Jesus with others, and help others to follow Jesus. It is used so that we can have worship gatherings on Sundays and hubs for community all throughout the week. It is used to pay staff to lead, used to build leaders for the dream team and to equip and empower them to lead as spiritual leaders and as ministers of the gospel. It is used to extend pastoral care to anyone at Community Church and to create environments that foster deeper community with God, with Christians, and even with non-Christians. It is used to rent the space that we currently have, to buy equipment, to meet with people for counsel, and to even help people in the community who have needs. All this doesn't just happen, but it's because people tithe and are generous that we're creating a transformational church so that all people can find new life in Christ as we help them to walk in that life. We have seen people saved, people healed, marriages restored, parents equipped, addictions defeated, freedom realized, forgiveness extended, reconciliation happening, people finding belonging and living on mission that is a greater, much greater purpose than themselves. God is using what we generously give to change lives and eternities. And that is the best investment we can ever make. But it's not just building a church. It is also using our tithes and influence to build bridges of trust with people and organizations in the city of Malden in order to serve them and meet the needs of the city. It is building relationships and helping those who are poor and in need materially, relationally, emotionally, and spiritually. But we're not here to just give money to problems. But we help people out of their predicaments, which in turn helps them to find God and win when it comes to their life. Ministries like Neighbor to Neighbor allow teams to visit families in Malden, giving them bread while providing an opportunity to build relationships and offer physical, emotional, and spiritual support in addition to meeting the immediate need for food. We offer English conversation classes to help our immigrant neighbors practice English as they learn the ins and outs of American culture so that they can be equipped to find better jobs, to make friends, to thrive in America. We give counsel and guidance to families with parenting advice and marriage and addictions and life, and teaming up with the mayor and the city officials to serve other needs in Malden. Many people assume that all that we do for people just happens naturally, but it's our ties that support our neighbors within the city. Through these contributions, we build trust, we foster goodwill, and encourage people to consider Jesus and take steps towards him. These are just a few ways that our tithes create stories of life change. And not only do we do local mission, but we also give towards global mission as well. The New England Seafarers Mission is an outreach ministry of the local church that serves the international seafarers that come in on ships to do business. We're partners who minister to the staff and crew of these ships, offering spiritual and physical assistance as they share the gospel with people from over 167 countries. Then these ships go back to their countries with the hope and the love of Jesus. We are a multinational church made up of people from all over the world coming together because of Jesus. God has used our sacrificial giving of tithes to help people in the church and in the city as we bring mercy, biblical justice, redemption, and restoration to the city of Malden. Malden is our mission field. And since Malden is so diverse, consisting of people from all over the world, we believe that if we can reach Malden with the love of Jesus, we will reach the world. We want to give everyone the opportunity to hear about Jesus and follow him, because we know that when they do, the trajectory of their lives will change forever. And that is just a glimpse of where the money that we give goes. And down the pipeline, we want to offer other ministry initiatives like starting point classes or alpha classes, growth tracks, and even plant other churches like this one in the greater Boston area. Because we want our finances to go towards what lasts forever into eternity, which is the Word of God and investing in the lives of people. This all happens when we step out in faith and invest generously towards what is eternal. Remember, if our heart follows our money, then if we give generously, and if we generously invest in the lives of the people in Malden by tithing as the training wheels towards much greater generosity, our heart will start to care for the lives and eternities of the people in Malden. God is generous with everything he has. And as his followers, he wants us to be generous with everything we have. May we reflect the generous God that we follow starting today and every day. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, help us to know that we give as a response to what you have done for us. Because our lives are changed by you, we want to be able to use the resources that you have given to us to allow others to be changed by you as well. May we take this step of faith to trust you in this area where if we give back to you generously, that you will still supply everything that we need. May we trust you and see what you have given to us as a means to change the world and to change eternity with you. Maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. And know that God loves you. Know that he loves you so much that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you and I and all of us can have a real relationship with him now and for all eternity. Jesus lived a perfect life, and then he chose to die for our sins so that we can have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that he wasn't just a man, but the God who saves. And if that is what you want, I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come to your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. We would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.